going to add to anything as we go on, subtract to it. Then let us come on and do it. So we see how the devil is moving in our lives. We see how he's moving in the church. I was telling somebody this morning, I was telling them how, man, I felt sorry for that man. Coming over there, said, I just ate my piece of watermelon, and the man, the old and decrepit, and can't hardly get around, and the hard-working man got all his children through college, and they all got degrees, all professional people, but now he says, I said, well, I'm going to try to get in there and cook me a little something to eat here in a minute, and I knew he had a wife. I said, well, is your wife well? He said, yeah. He said, but sometimes I find it's better just go on, do my own cooking, the boy to fight. But we have Holy Ghost women like that too. But see, we've been trained with the old women do what? Obey your husband in the Lord. Is that the word, or is that ain't in there? Maybe that's why we're doing it, because the Bible, we don't know that word. I think I saw that somewhere in my Bible. I just don't know where it's at. Then we've seen something else that even in Genesis it started that your desires, if he wants some supper, you ought to cook him some. that's in the Bible. Genesis 3:16. Said he wants some supper, cook him some. Y'all say they did 3:16. Well, look it up. It ain't saying supper that, but it's saying the same thing. Now, I don't believe you need to cook him none at 1 o'clock in the morning. God forbid. Honey, please make you a sandwich. Yeah, I can understand that. You know, either cook it before you went to bed, so honey, put it in the microwave. Because I know you're hungry, but I cooked it already, put it in the microwave. There's some scrambled eggs and bacon in there. Turkey bacon. Thought I'd throw that one in. What you got? I want you to move fast so we can keep on going.
I have one coming from Colossians, the 3rd chapter.
What does it say there?
In the 18th verse. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord.
Well, let us see. So some wives will go out and do, they have a male boss that do anything, he jump, turn, flips for them. Come home, won't do nothing. But that's what he says, submit what?
Yourself.
See, wait, stay where I'm at. Stay where you're at till I get through it. What does it say again?
Because wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband.
Not only, you're going to submit yourselves to other men. Well, what about your own husband? Read.
As it is fit in the Lord.
The Lord wants you to do this. Come on.
I'm going to have another one coming from Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 22nd verse. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
If you do it to the Lord, do it to your husband. So you can't take that sacrifice you're giving him until you do it first to who? Your husband. The sacrifice you're sending him ain't worth a nickel till you do it to do it the other way. Y'all hear that? Now, so, Bishop, what you got to say about them men? I'm fixing to hit them. Stand by, ladies. Been to hit them now. Now, we did a great teaching. I'm going to come up and give it to you all, too, about men being men. Where your woman can respect you when you are a man. We men, women, don't want to care about being under subjection when we are subjection to a man that love is God. A man that's going to treat me the way God has already told me to treat me. And I can come under subjection to that. But if you're a rascal laying up in bed and I'm out there working and I'm bringing home the bacon and you're supposed to be bringing it home, and what you're going to tell me, you will not do this, you will not do that, you will not serve your God, I cannot come under subjection to you. So we've been doing the same thing here. We're teaching men to be men. They come in that image of God, and then woman can come in. They can look up unto us. A woman loves a man. She loves. Do you know that proverb 31 woman? You know why she was doing it? Because she had a man of God. She didn't mind going out helping him. And the word was saying she was even going out just flow showing. So you could see I got a blessed man over here. But people don't forget that now. We ain't got that now. But we're going to have to go back to where then? The B-I-B-L-E. And we're saying that now to go on further now. Please turn it loose. We're going to go back now and begin to teach us ourselves how the devil is taking all these things we're failing to do, and we're on our way to hell. You said, Bishop, that'll take me to hell not obeying my husband or my wife. Well, as I spoke this morning, the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. And the Bible says no sinners is going to go in. Y'all hear what we're saying? So the next thing we want to talk about is our conduct in the church. We have so many things in the church. Let's go to the Proverbs, the sixth, and then he said, well, maybe seven things that I hate. He says, there's six things that is an abomination unto me. Yea, even seven. That's what I believe it says. Let's go to the Proverbs 6 and 6. Is that it?
Proverbs 6 and 16.
6 and 16. I didn't put the one on. Okay, give them time to get there. So we're going to look at these things and see some of us in the churches. As we began to show you this morning how the devil is all the way up in the church and he ain't disguising himself.
These six things doeth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look.
Now, that's what we sanctify. And you see, there's a group of people, I'm not going to call their name or their denomination. They are some of the most proud folks here, and they're very, very predominantly all throughout Louisiana. There's one of their church. Some of us, they just shut you out if you don't dance just like them. So we have proud looks and think we're better than other folks. But the Bible took a child one time. Jesus took a child. Can anybody get that one from me? And gave an example. See, anybody got what I want?
Matthew 18:1.
Come on.
At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?
Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?
And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Y'all see the point I'm trying to come from? Until you be converted, when you don't look at a person's skin color, the way he brushes his teeth versus the way you brush yours, the way he danced in the spirit world versus the way you, until you can get that clean, you will not, what? What did he say?
Enter into the kingdom of heaven.
You ain't going nowhere. Spinning your wheels down here. You know a lot of Christian folks don't know that? A lot of Christian folks don't know that. I'll tell you. All right. What else we got? Y'all see where we're coming from here today? Okay. We found out that there was people in the church. The Bible showed us people in the church that think they got the Holy Ghost don't have it.
Amen. Matthew 25th chapter, first verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom.
See, a lot of times, these people said that they were virgins, right? Virgin means you're sort of halfway pure and you're not undefiled. But sometimes we in the church, we let our Holy Ghost go to slipping away on us. We forget our prayer life. We forget our fasting life. And then we teach, all is symbolic of the Holy Ghost is what you're going to have to get off the ground. He said the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, which was the Holy Ghost, is the one that's going to get you out of that grave and get you caught up to meet him in there. You're not going to be able to catch a 747 helicopter. You can own a couple of helicopters all you want, but you won't go with Jesus. You're going to need the Holy Ghost. Come on.
If I were them, were wise.
We're talking about the virgins. Five of these 10 were wise virgins. They stayed prayed up and fasted up. Come on.
And five
had their prayer life, and they would begin to keep the anointing upon them at all times. Come on.
And five were foolish.
But they had five other virgins. They were foolish. Fast days, they said, well, I'll go to church tonight, but I ain't really into it. I go there because I think it's a proper thing to belong to a church. And I like to be in one that's very popular in the gifts working in the church and et cetera. But as far as me getting deep into it and really howling in the spirit and dancing, I really don't see it that way. I mean, I don't think you need all to do that to get in. Come on.
They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them.
So they kept on being like that in the church. They come in, get them a little touch, and as far as they was concerned, I'm good to go.
But the wise took oil in their lamps and their vessels with their lamps.
They kept their bodies prayed up with the Holy Ghost, highly anointed by our bodies.
And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered
while
and slept.
While Jesus here is waiting and getting ready to come back, they did what?
Slumber and slept.
They went on to sleep. Just well, I think I'm all right. I ain't worried about nothing.
And at midnight there was a cry made.
Well, here that night came.
Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go
at the last trump, the dead in Christ is rising out of the grave. Airplanes all out of control. 18 wheelers out of control with Holy Ghost fear. All very chaos on the road. Oh, 747 jet pilot was there. He was Holy Ghost fear. There's a plane in there crashing, just going crazy. 18 wheelers with Holy Ghost fear drivers and
praise God.
Can you see the chaos? Yes, but that's what's going to happen. Come on.
Go out to meet him.
So they're going up. Come on.
Then all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil.
I see y'all leaving. Wait for us.
Or going out. But the wise answered, saying, not so.
Not so. We can't help you now. It's on you.
Lest there be not enough oil for us and you.
I ain't got time to try to drag you up there.
But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself.
You better go where you know you need to keep gas in your tank.
And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And there they were ready, went with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, said, verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh.
Stay ready, saints. Message today, is that right? In your pocket. Put it in the bank. Put it in the savings account. Every time you think you got $50, go to the lottery. Go down to the casino and put it in the bank. Put it in your savings account and you'll have something in your bank. That's why we say stay in Christ. Stay full of the Holy Ghost. Stay prayed up and fasted up at all times because you'll have something in the bank.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
I know a man named Jesus, and he is
You've just tuned in to the outreach ministries of the Mount Calvary Baptist Church, located 320 Daspit Street in Alexandria, Louisiana. Reverend Ronnie Humphrey Sr. is the pastor. We are a church of the living word, preaching and teaching the word, thereby fulfilling God's command as stated in Mark 16:15 to go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. At Mount Calvary Baptist Church, leading to others is the church's first priority. Now join Pastor Humphrey in a sermon already in progress.
Thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this moment right now. We thank you that you have allowed us to come together one more time. Now, Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love and kindness, your patience with us and for us. Thank you for this preaching opportunity that I may proclaim thy word, thy will, and thy way to these your people and myself. Now, Lord, give me preaching power that I can tell us what thus says the Lord. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen. And the church said amen, amen. And amen. Amen. It is just good for us to be here. Yes, and had it not been for the Lord, yes, on our side, yes, we know where we would be. Yes. We would not be. And again, to Pastor Humphrey, well, thank you so very much for inviting the Monali Baptist Church family to come and share in this celebration. Yes. And to Patrick Meredith, Pastor Huey Lawson. Yes. Amen. Amen. And we thank Mount Calvary Baptist Church officers and the board of members. I would like to share a thought with us to blend in with your theme, Matthew, the 16th chapter, right, and verse 18, Matthew 16 and 18. Amen. And the word of our Lord says, and also I say to you, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Yes, and the gates of Hades, or gates of hell, or the city of hell, shall not prevail against it or overthrow it. And Matthew 18 and 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, in Jesus' name, I am there in the midst of them. May God bless the reader, hearer of his divine word. And for a little while this afternoon, we would like to blend into your theme, Jesus in the midst. All right. And you know, it's a good thing to know that Jesus is in the midst of your affairs, your life, your business, your everything. If he's in the midst, in the middle, you can glean from him. You can receive power from him. Now, when I speak of the church this afternoon, I'm not speaking of the mortar and bricks. Structure is important. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I'm speaking of the universal church. Yes. The body of redeemed saints, right, who have repented of their sins, yes, and who have placed their trust and confidence in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who live according to the word of God. Yes, right. In the text today, we find that Jesus is the founder and foundation of the church. But the text that I just read to you, he says, upon this rock I will build my church. I, personal pronoun, he's saying that I'm going to do it myself. I'm not going to trust someone else to build my church. And there's no question about it that the church is built upon Christ. And really what he was saying is that I'm going to build this church upon myself. It's unquestionable that he's the builder of the church and the power behind its structure. But 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Jesus is in the midst of his church this evening. Mount Calvary. It is Jesus who takes every believer, all of the living stones in his church. And whether you realize it or not, the church is still under construction. What he says, upon this rock, I shall, in King James translation, build my church. It's ongoing. And I say to you, no matter how eloquent your home is or how it has been built beautifully, if you live in it long enough, you're going to have to do something. Some changes going to have to be made. No matter how eloquent it is. Just stay there a while and the plumbing will act up. Electricity will act up. Refrigerators will go out and air conditioning will go out. In the same way with this body, we are under construction. Jesus said, I will build my church. In other words, he said, I own the church. Not the membership, not man, but the church belongs to me. He shed his blood for the church. On this rock, I will build my church. Rock, it's you know, one religion believed that when he said Peter, which means Petro, which is a small pebble, that the church is built up on Peter. No, no. But the confession of Peter and the confession of true believers is what the church is built upon. It's through the preaching of the gospel that Jesus builds his church. For Paul says in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto salvation to everyone that believes it. He said, rock, he's saying something. He says now, rock symbolizes stability, structure. And a building is only as strong as its foundation. A rock symbolizes strength. Paul said the other day, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. It's Jesus who strengthened the church. He is, you know, the rock of ages, rock of Israel. He's my rock, he's my redeemer. He's the precious cornerstone for a sure foundation, Isaiah 28:16. Jesus is in the midst of the church this evening, Mount Calvary, the church purpose. He's in the midst of it. But the purpose of the church is to make disciples. Matthew 28:19 says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded of you. Church purpose, his sole purpose, is to make disciples. And Christ, as a builder and maker of the church, he draws souls to himself. He unites us together in his love. Not only he's in the midst of the purpose of the church, but he's in the midst of the power of the church in the person and presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power and unity of the church. He's our leader. He's our guide. He's our comforter. He's our teacher. He's our enabler. Amen. You remember when Jesus said to those disciples, after he had resurrected, he said, remain in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. That was the Holy Ghost. That you will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, in all of the nations. Luke's gospel say, remain, tarry in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. It is the power of the Holy Ghost that enables us to do the will of God. He has to be in the midst of his power. He has to be in the midst. And he's in the midst of the church perfection. For he says, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, gates of hell, the city of hell will not overthrow. That lets us know the church got enemies.
Yes,
inside and outside. But the text says that nothing can overthrow the church. The church will be here. Because the church lives after the word of God. See, flowers will fade away. But the word, grass will wither, but the word will stand forever. When you look out, you don't see no grass, nothing green.